From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. A state contract worth up to $250,000 to study the future of Alaska's ferries is on hold. Alaska Department of Transportation regional spokeswoman Ora Landau says the state decided not to go with the low bidder, and an appeal followed.
There were two firms who submitted bids, and the firm that did not win is protesting the intent to award. There's a 10-day protest period, and that will conclude on April 22nd.
Two Anchorage firms are vying for the contract to study ways for the state to divest from the ferry system. Northern Economics bid just shy of the maximum $250,000 allotted for a six-month study. MAP Consulting bid about $25,000 less and filed an appeal after being passed over. There's skepticism among lawmakers in coastal communities over the state financing a new ferry study, especially one that floats potential privatization. Ketchikan Independent Representative Dan Ortez says that's not realistic.
There's not money to be made in providing transportation to small communities, but that's never been the goal of the Marine Highway System, to be a money-making operation, a profit operation. Just like our highways up in the interior, you know, they're not money-making operations.
The future of ferry service still remains in question. The Dunleavy administration argues that the ferries are losing too much money and proposed ending service in October. The House rejected that plan but still slashed about $10 million from the budget. Attention will now shift to the Senate. A bill backed by Governor Dunleavy would allow the state to shift up to 49,000 Alaskans covered by Medicaid expansion to the private insurance market. The bill was introduced today at Dunleavy's request. Anchorage Democratic Representative Ivy Sponholz says the House Health and Social Services Committee won't be able to pass the bill this session. In addition to Alaskans enrolled through Medicaid expansion, the measure also could allow a much larger share of the general Medicaid population to be served by the private market, such as adults who take care of children. But Medicaid would continue to cover seniors, people with disabilities, and people who are medically fragile. The bill also would give to the State Department of Health and Social Services the authority to implement some of the changes it's announced as part of its plan to reduce Medicaid costs, and the bill would prevent further Medicaid expansions in the future unless the legislature passes laws approving them. More than one quarter of Alaskans receive Medicaid or Denali KidCare. A high school robotics team from Southeast Alaska is competing in the World Championship this month. It's the first time a team from the region has made it this far. KTOO's Zoe Gruskin visited the team at one of their last practices before the competition.
Thunder Mountain High School's state champion robotics team lives up to its name, trial and error. At an after-school practice just a week out from the World Championship, they're still tinkering.
We use a lot of duct tape to kind of try things out, and if that works, then maybe we'll screw it down. Sometimes we don't, but usually we try to screw it down.
That's Noah Tackpost. He's been doing robotics for over 10 years. It's a team sport. Together, students build the robots and write computer code to control their movements. They're designed to accomplish specific mechanical tasks, like climbing a ladder, or in this case, gathering up blocks and balls.
Let's hook it up. Every year there's a theme, and this year it's kind of space travel, and so these are supposed to be minerals that we've mined or something like that, and we're trying to get them back into our, that thing is called the lander. It's called the lander. Get them back into the lander.
The team has faced this challenge before, but since then they've completely changed the design of their robot. It now features a device they call the popper that scoops up blocks and balls and shoots them out of a curved plastic tube into the point scoring area. Or anyway, it's supposed to.
Do you think we need new surgical tubing?
At their Robotics League's World Championship in Houston, they'll face off against teams from around the U.S. and dozens of other countries. The fact that right now their robot isn't exactly functional doesn't worry Eli Douglas. He says they'll probably be making changes right up until the event.
We've done it just about every time we go to a competition, so... We're somewhat confident it'll work out.
Douglas says his favorite part of doing robotics is having a shared project to work on with his friends.
You know, we'll see each other's in the hall and talk about the robot. Like, oh, I was thinking about the robot. We should try this later. Yeah.
How much of your time are you thinking about the robot?
I mean, it's definitely kept me up at night before, and I'm sure it could say the same for everyone else. Just thinking about different mechanisms that could work for different problems.
Douglas and his teammates Noah Tack Post and Riley Sykes have been building robots together since they were all second graders at Ok Bay Elementary School. They estimate they've each spent around 300 hours building robots just this season. Now that they're seniors, Post says they're building better robots than ever. He credits that to a major shift in strategy. In the past, he says, they've often gotten hung up on one idea, not realizing it won't work until it's too late.
And so with that in mind, we kind of, as a team, agreed that if we were ever getting really kind of stuck with an idea and it just didn't seem to be working, we would scrap the whole thing, take apart the whole robot, spend a Saturday night just taking it all apart and start from scratch. Just really kind of emphasizing like an engineering process and just trying new things as often as we could.
It can be stressful for the coaches the way they do it, but it works for them.
Amber Cunningham is an assistant coach for Thunder Mountain's robotics teams. Their approach might be stressful, but she also admires it.
It's so hard to let go of something you've been working on, and their ability to do that and not let them stress out and just go, hey, you know what? This isn't working. We're going to start all over. Let's do something different. It's just pretty amazing.
Post says robotics gives him a new perspective, and he loves the community.
You come to these competitions where it's like teams from either all over the region, the state, and now all over the world, and you're going to be able to see how they have approached the same challenge as you in probably completely different ways. And it's just really cool to see all the different ideas that people come up with and the camaraderie that like comes from it and working on the robot together.
By the end of practice, the popper still isn't working right. But the team still has a whole week before Worlds. Plenty of time for trial and error. In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.
Juneau's cold weather emergency shelter has closed for the season, and the city isn't sure if it will return next winter. This was the second winter the city operated the overnight shelter on nights when the temperature dipped below freezing. Initial numbers suggest the shelter saw even more users this winter. According to Irene Gallion, the city's housing and homelessness services coordinator, the 36-bed shelter opened for a total of 79 nights. Gallion said they're still waiting on data from January's annual nationwide homeless count to determine what the need will be next winter.
It's been very popular. It looks like providers and the assembly members are interested in providing it next year. We just need to look at the data to see if it's warranted.
The number of homeless in Juneau has grown gradually in recent years. The opening of Housing First in 2017 brought down the number of unsheltered homeless people in Juneau, and providers hope to double that number with the construction of a new wing in the supportive housing complex. While Housing First is a long-term way of addressing homelessness, the cold weather shelter offers a short-term solution by giving people a warmer alternative to sleeping outside. The aging former public safety building that has been housing the shelter is going to be demolished and replaced with a parking lot this summer. The city has to look for alternatives if it wants to operate a shelter next winter.
There's two ways that could go if we decided to go forward with the shelter. One could be for CBJ to find some space to provide it. The other is to, in our request for proposals, ask that providers provide space for the shelter.
The demolition of the old public safety building could begin as soon as this week. The city expects the new parking lot construction to wrap up by August 1st. Senator Lisa Murkowski is keeping mostly neutral on Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposed budget cuts. She spoke about his budget on a visit to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta this past weekend. The governor's proposal cuts deeply into Medicaid expansion, public safety and education, all services that many in the YK Delta rely on. Murkowski endorsed Dunleavy in last year's election. But there is one area where Murkowski doesn't want to see any cuts: education.
So let's make sure that we do right by our kids in giving them those full opportunities.
Murkowski visited Bethel on a scheduled trip to Eek this past weekend. She didn't make it out to Eek because of weather, but managed to attend Bethel's River Breakup Bash on Saturday, the earliest breakup bash on record. And taking a look at weather tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 37. Tuesday, scattered rain and snow showers before 10 a.m., then scattered rain showers, cloudy with a high near 46. This is KTOO Juneau.